Let's go to the United States and we welcome our correspondent Ron Elving, who is with NPR. Hello, Ron.
Good to be with you, Catherine.
A couple of big stories I'm keen on hearing about. The big one, first of all, was Ukraine has been waiting for a very long time. And now, as part of a wider aid package, it has some funding agreed by Congress, the House in the first instance, yes?
Yes, $60 billion. That's more than has been given to Ukraine by the United States up to now, by a good bit. And it's also more than any other country has given to Ukraine, but it's been a long time coming. President Biden asked for it back in October, asking for over $100 billion at the time for Ukraine and also for Israel and for Taiwan, all to deal with their own security situations. And of course, there's a great deal of controversy about how Israel is using its money, because that has caused explosions on campuses all over America, but particularly in the Ivy League and some of the other exclusive schools, where Palestinian sympathizers and Muslim students and other students have been protesting on campus and shutting down traffic on major streets in protest of what's happening in Gaza. But with respect to Ukraine, the United States is finally going to provide the ammunition, the missiles, and financial aid that Ukraine needs to resist the Russian presence on their territory.
All right. In the end, why did that vote succeed? Was there some, you're not getting this without that going on, or did it provide cover perhaps for some of those members who were wary or leery of lending any more to or giving any more to Ukraine?
In the end, when you actually allowed both parties to vote and have something to say about it, and when it was not strictly a decision among Republicans as to whether or not to even bring the issue to a vote, that's where we have been stuck for weeks and months, because the Republican Party as a whole has so much dissent on this particular issue, and because there didn't seem to be much support coming from their presidential nominee, Donald Trump. Because of those reasons, the Republicans didn't want to put the bill on the floor. They knew perfectly well there'd be enough Democratic votes to overwhelm the resistors in the Republican Party. So it came down to Speaker Mike Johnson, who's only been in the job for about 6 months, to make a decision as to whether or not, in his own support for Ukraine, to risk his job, which might very well be in jeopardy after this, to put the bill on the floor and give both parties a chance to vote, at which point it was approved overwhelmingly.
Now, the other big story coming out of there at the moment, of course, is the trial underway and the former president sitting in the courtroom. And can you just update us on where things are at, please?
Well, the former president is stewing in the courtroom. He's extremely unhappy about being there. He's put out some vituperative messages on his social media account, attacking everyone for putting him in this position. And of course, he heard today the first statement from the prosecution saying that all of this was essentially a conspiracy back in 2016 to protect his first presidential run, which was successful, not in the popular vote, but in the Electoral College and quite narrowly. But nonetheless, he did win, and he won because, the prosecution alleges, a number of stories were suppressed because of a deal between Trump and a tabloid publisher named David Pecker. And so because of that arrangement, stories about various relationships that Donald Trump had had with porn actresses were suppressed, and other stories about his opponents were promoted. So that is at the heart of this case. And then, of course, a great deal of money was moved around in order to pay off the porn actresses in question. And that money being moved around involved a great deal of business fraud, according to the prosecution. And that's why he's in the dock, with the possibility of jail time.
How much longer to run? What's set to happen over the coming days and longer, Ron?
That trial could go on for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 more weeks, because there are a great number of witnesses to be called on both sides. They'll be having the court sessions 4 days a week. And so they aren't going to get through all those witnesses much quicker than that. The Supreme Court this week, the U.S. Federal Supreme Court, is hearing a case or hearing an appeal from Donald Trump asking that he be declared immune for anything he did while he was president, so that he could simply see all of these cases that are pending against him dismissed, or at least contend that they should be dismissed, because he's claiming that he had, as president of the United States, complete and total immunity against any sort of prosecution while he was in office, and he's blanketing that over the entire indictment. So we'll hear from the justices on Thursday at least what kinds of questions they have. Maybe we'll get an indication which way they're leaning, but we're not going to get a final decision on that for weeks, possibly even months. And during that period of time, this particular trial in New York is going to work its way along and keep Donald Trump off the campaign trail a great deal more than he would like.
Just very quickly, we've only got seconds left, but Volkswagen workers in the South have voted to unionize. Why is this so significant, Ron, just quickly?
Very long time that the United Auto Workers have been trying to organize even so much as one automobile factory in the South, and they have been unable to do that for decades and generations. This last vote, they won by more than 70%, and that is going to spread to other auto plants and other kinds of factories probably throughout the South in the years ahead.
So really setting a precedent and perhaps suggesting dissatisfaction getting to such levels that the numbers are adding up.
There is a clear breakthrough here in that the tactics that have been used by the industries to suppress union activity for all of these years are no longer sufficient, and the unions are working with that kind of dissatisfaction that you're describing and finding open ears among some of the newer workers who are coming to work in those plants, younger workers who expect more.
Thank you, Ron Elving in the United States.